your service and thank you for your giving. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians 13, and we're going to read verses 11 through 13 here. This year we've been talking about, and I also wanted to throw out a big hurrah for Chuck. He got up at 5 o'clock this morning, drove from Reno to be here this morning, so thank you, Chuck. And appreciate that, and I'm sure you got an extra something in heaven. Amen. But it's good to have you here this morning, I know. And on top of that, he felt like the draft went good. Went well. They got some good players, so, but anyway, I want to talk to you for a little bit. Yeah, what I want to do is first not be distracted by Chuck, now I've distracted myself again. See, I need to stop. We talk about this being a year of, open doors. And, of course, the definition for me of the open door is opportunity. God opens doors and he offers opportunities, right? And I believe that I have the blessing of the Lord on my life. But I believe by having favor, I enter into the blessing. Amen. God gives me favor. Amen. I know I've gotten jobs out of just favor. God gave me favor with those people. I've had people come into my life and bless my life just because for some reason I had favor, and it came from God. And so there's a lot of things working and that we have working for us as Christians if we'll actually believe in the things of God. One thing I've learned over the years is they work because we believe it. Receiving from God is about believing God. And we have to believe. And I believe believing is a choice. You have to choose to believe. And if your life is one of them, well, I don't know about that, then you got to settle. You got to go without. That's how that works. And I'm not here to criticize. I'm not here to put down, but you're going to have to go without. Because receiving from God all comes down to our faith in him. That's what it comes down to. And, the Bible says, by grace are you saved, but it says how? Through faith. So salvation only comes through faith. Now, salvation can be a lot of things. It can be healing for your body. It could be the new birth. It could be a restoration of your marriage. It could be... Because when you really look up the word healing, salvation, it incorporates the whole circumference of human existence. Jesus came to seek and to save, amen, to bring a deliverance to your life. And so ultimately, we want to know how to live in that. And I believe God really wants us to live in the blessing of the Lord. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand me. You're going to have challenges, but challenges are only opportunities to keep your faith in God. Challenges are not bad. Challenges are opportunities. When you're challenged in your faith, when you're challenged, that's when we press in to the things of God and keep our focus, right? We stay focused on God. If you're not careful, you'll let your life, your mind be distracted by the world that we live in. The world is out to bring distraction. Satan wants to bring distraction to your life, okay? And so we want to know how to walk in faith. We want to know how to have hope for our future. And we want to live in a reality of the love of God, that God loves us, right? Many people fail to receive from God because they don't truly understand the love of God. We start thinking God's love for us is based on our performance instead of God's love for us is because he chooses to love us. Right? You ever seen that little homely kid and the mom just loves the little guy to pieces, you know? She loves him because she chooses to love him. It's not anything else. I have people, they'll say they love something or they'll love, and you're thinking, what? But that's not how it works. Love, the God kind of love, God's love, is not about the thing that's loved, it's about the one giving the love. Do you understand what I mean by that? And so those are very important things. And so let's look here at 1 Corinthians 13, and let's start with verse 11. He said, "When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." Now, we understand when you're a child, my children never got up in the morning and come and knocked on our bedroom door and begged if they were going to be fed. They knew they were going to be fed, right? I mean, they knew their needs were met. And they never, and my kids never, and I don't mean this disrespectful to them, but they never took any responsibility for anything. I never had my kid come to me and say, "Dad, here's my $10, it's for the electric bill." They never did that, okay? Now, they're men now. We go out to eat now and they fight over buying. But for years, they were real content with Dad buying, okay? And to this day, you know, I still want to take them out and I want to buy for them. But I appreciate their spirit that they're willing to quit thinking like a child and think like an adult, right? And Paul said this, he said, "I put away the childish things." In other words, I put them from me. In other words, they were present, but I put them away from me. So we learn to put away the childish things, and we grow up and we mature in God. We grow up in the Lord. And I believe one of the challenges that we have in the church world today is too much immaturity. Too much immaturity. Children live by their emotions, right? Now, I raised boys, so I don't think it was, and I know I'm going to get in trouble for this, but I raised boys, but I had sisters. And there is a difference between women, girls' emotions and boys. They are different. And we can say they're not, but they are. They're different, okay? And don't take this wrong, but I believe it's easier to raise boys. I do. I really believe that. I believe it's easier to raise boys. Now, don't misunderstand me. I believe it's a blessing and wonderful to raise girls. My boys have girls. I have wonderful granddaughters and all that. But they deal with things that I never dealt with by raising boys. Okay, so I'm just going to leave it there because I'm already in trouble. But the point is, we as Christians, we got to grow up. Silence. We have to grow up. We have to put away the childish things. Because if we're going to walk through open doors and we're going to take on the opportunities that God brings into our life, we're only going to be able to do that as mature people. Because there's always going to be something that wants to distract you from the fulfillment of God's will for your life. It doesn't matter how long you serve God, the adversary is out to distract you from your fulfillment, right? And you know what? I don't know about you, but I've worked on a job and I didn't wake up every morning like, "Wow, I get to go to work today." No, it was like, I need to go to work. I got mouths to feed and I got responsibilities, see? And that's what an adult does. Is he looks beyond his feelings and sees the responsibilities because he seeks an outcome of success for everybody involved, right? And I really believe that God, my responsibility in the Tucker family, in my little brood, was to create an environment where everybody could be successful. It wasn't about me being successful, it was about everybody being successful. You create an environment where Sandy can be successful, where my boys can be successful. And I believe that all success comes out of a discipline, an environment that is disciplined by principles that encourage success. right? You gotta have that in the environment. And when you're raising children, you know, like I raise boys, and one of the first things you gotta teach a little boy is how to sit down and be still. I mean, that's a challenge. I mean, his motor's running, he wants to go, but he has to learn to be successful in life. There's gonna be certain limitations. He's got to work within something. I say this, and I don't mean this disrespectful to anybody, but are you raising a divorce or are you raising a long-term marriage? How we raise our children will determine probably whether they're successful in marriage or not. If we train them and teach them that living by their emotions and getting their way all the time and them being the most important individual on the planet, you're probably raising a divorce. You have to raise them to understand that life sometimes is about sacrifice. Sometimes it's about not getting your way. Sometimes it's about not getting your will. You got to train them up in the way they should go. Amen? Train them God's way. And we live in a society that doesn't want us to train our children God's way, because God's way is against the world, what they're trying to do today, right? So we train them up, we teach them the importance of putting away childish things and growing into adulthood and becoming good men and good women of God, good sanctified, holy men and women of God. Amen? No, yes, anybody care? You know, and I know for some of us, our kids are already grown and there's nothing, we can't go back. But the point is, we need to understand that being childish will rob you of what God has for you. And so we got to grow past that. And Paul was saying that here. He was saying, we put away the childish things. We have to put them away. Now, it's not always easy for me to, because Sandy says when it comes to humor, men never mature past fifth grade. Just say fart and we laugh. You know, we still find it funny, you know. And I think I probably mentioned this before, but we'll be driving out to the dairy out there to get some milk. And we drive around onto Bowman, and there's a sign that says bump ahead, and I'll reach over and bump her head. And she don't always appreciate me bumping her head. So the other day we drove around there, and there's the sign, and I looked at her and I said, you know. So I'm trying to put away the childish things. You know, it's hard sometimes to get rid of all of them, okay? But we need to grow in God and grow in the things of God. It says, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but when face to face, now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. Now it says, now abides faith, hope, and love. These three, the greatest of these is love. Amen? So Paul's writing to us and he says there's three things that remain to this day: faith, hope, love. Okay. My definition for faith in this study will be a trust or a confidence in God, right? Faith is, the completion of faith is to believe enough to do, right? To believe it enough to do it. It's not enough to say I believe and not do it. See, we all believe things we don't do, right? And there's nothing wrong with what you believe, and they may be good things, but you still haven't disciplined yourself to do them, right? But you know they're good, right? Faith is taking what we believe and acting on it. We trust God so much that we know that if we do what God says, we get God's result. Therefore, we act on what we believe, okay? So to me, faith is just a confidence, a trust in God that brings me to a place of action. Can you accept that? I mean, even if you don't agree with it, that's what I'm talking about. Okay? And then hope is an expectation, right? It's our expectation. Hope is always in the, we're expecting. I'm expecting good. The Bible hope is an expectation with pleasure. What brings you pleasure is the knowing that your expectation is going to come to pass, right? I can stand in this difficult moment because I know it's changing, right? I can stand in this moment of difficulty because I have an expectation of change coming and good things coming into my life, right? And so when I say hope, we're talking about an expectation of good things coming into my life. And in the world we live in, that can be a challenge. Because whether you're listening to the right or you're listening to the left, both of them are promoting fear. There's no faith in what they're talking about. There's just fear. They get back, and if he gets back in power, this is what's going to happen. If this guy gets in power, this is what's going to happen. It's all about fear. It's all about, you know, he's going to do, if you're gay, this guy's going to hunt all the gay people down. And you know, it's all stupid, you know. And he's trying to, the fear is just trying to, you know, and both sides are stirring the fear. And we know that fear is, God said, don't be fearful. And yet many of us are fearful. And we got to be careful that we don't get caught up in that spirit of the world. Okay? That's the spirit of the world. And there's no expectation, good expectation in fear. Right? We're expecting bad things, right? My middle son, he went to see that movie about Civil War. There's a new movie out that's in the movies now about Civil War. And he said, in America, about a civil war coming to the United States. And he said to me, he says, you know, Dad, he says, one thing I'll say about the movie, he says, they tried to present it real. And he said, you don't want that. You don't want that. My oldest son told me this. He said, Dad, before anybody thinks about civil war, they need to go to a country that's had one. And he said a third of the people there are missing limbs. And it had nothing to do with them fighting. They stepped on an IED. They stepped on bombs that were, they didn't know they were there. They lost members. He said, you need to go there and you need to look at that and decide, is that what you want? See, if we're not careful, we sit around and we let this stuff feed on us. Until we start thinking the answer to the problem is more of it. Right? But instead, the answer to the problem is us, the church. We're the answer. When we start living for Jesus and we start expecting good things and we start talking the things of God instead of just regurgitating the garbage that's coming to us through the television and through the radio and through, then we can see change in our, because then we can have an expectation of something good coming. But we don't have an expectation of good coming. We only have an expectation of bad coming because we are fearful. Now, I'm not denying what's out there, okay? I'm not denying. But I'm believing that there can be a change for the right reasons for God. Amen? Now, I know that this probably isn't most popular, but it's all right. I'm all good. Go to 1 John. Now, I want to just touch on this, and I'll probably talk about it more later. But this morning, I just want to take a few minutes and talk to you about why God separates love, okay? He said, now abides faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love, okay? Well, one reason is, for sure, is that God is love, right? God is love. Right. And then another reason is that love is the motive. It's motive. It's why we do what we do, right? I'd like to think the people on the worship team do worship because they love God and they love me, They love the church, right? I hope it's not so they can strut their stuff. Because that you can do that in the world. You don't need, you can do that in the world. You can get the world to applaud you and praise you and all that. But here, that's not what that's for. And I'm not putting anybody down. I mean, you go and you sing a song or whatever and people clap for you. Hooray. I mean, I'm not against people appreciating talent, okay? That's not what I'm saying. But at church, in God's house, it's about God. It's about loving God. It's about worshiping God, right? I'd rather have a team of worshipers than a team of entertainers at God's house. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't do well, because I think if there's excellence nowhere else, there ought to be excellence in God's house. But we take what we have and we do our best. Sometimes when I preach, it's better than others. But that day, it was my best. Okay? And that's all I can do. But my point is that love should be our motive. Why do we do what we do? Why do we clean the church? Why do we mow the lawn? Why do we get up and sing? Why does pastor preach? Why do I? Because we love God and we love His people and we want to be a part of what He's doing. Because Jesus said, I will build my church. That's all Jesus is building. Now, I know this is going to come across rude or arrogant, but God does not build TV stations. God does not build radio stations. God does not build God. Jesus said, I will build my church. Now, I'm not saying we can't use television to put forth the gospel, and I'm not saying we can't use the radio, and I'm not saying, but he said, I will build my church. Why has it become so popular among the church world today or among Christians today to say things like, I don't need to go to church to be a Christian? Because the only thing Jesus is building is a church. It's an assault. It's an attack. How can you come and encourage me if you're not here? Right? How can you come and encourage others and be a blessing to others if you're not here? And what amazes me is somebody says, well, we go down in boxes and we sit down there and we pray holy and then we go out and live. I don't know what you're doing, but I know what I'm doing. I'm going to take Jesus with me everywhere I go. So don't judge me according to how you live. We go out into the world and we preach the good news. We bring good news. The Bible says our feet is shod with the gospel of peace. In other words, where we go, we bring peace. We bring a good news about peace. No, yes. And so, but it's easy to get caught up in everything going on in the world when love has to be what motivates us. Now, the love there in 1 Corinthians 13, if you look in one book, one thing I was reading, it gave for a definition for that love was a giving love. A giving love. King James uses the word charity, right? And the reason the King James used the word charity is because love is a giving love. It gives. God's love is a giving love. God so loved, He gave His Son, right? That's a manifestation of God's love. And what did the earth do to deserve Jesus? Nothing. It was strictly the Father choosing to love, right? And so we want to love God's way. Now, there's a reason for that, and I'm getting to it. A little bit of, kind of around the bush, but I'm getting to it. Go over to 1 John 4, and we'll start with verse 12. Now abides faith, hope, love. But the greatest of these is love, and I believe this tells me why right here. Says, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his what? His Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believe the love that God has for us. Now listen to that. We have known and we believe the love God has for us. Did you know not every believer believes that? They don't believe in the love of God. Now, I know that sounds crazy, but they always think the reason they're not receiving something or getting something is because they're not loved. And they're always judging themselves, God's love for them, based on their performance. You don't know what I've done. You don't know how I, you, yeah, and so we're basic, we can't receive from God because we keep bringing up what we were before God or something we've done since we've been a Christian. Paul wrote to us and he said, forget those things that are behind. Now, do you have a country dog or do you got a city dog? What kind of dog you got? I got a country dog. He can go out and find something that's dead and drag it up. He's a country dog. And then he wallows in it. You never seen that where a dog will find something dead and then he'll wallow all in it? You know? A lot of Christians are that way. They go to their past. They drag it up. They wallow in it. And they can never get past it. And because of that, it's impossible for them to receive from God. Because you don't trust the love of God. We have to trust God's love, that he truly loves us. He loves us so much that when we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you ever talk about your sins from your past, it's you that's doing it. It's not God. He said, forget those things that are behind you and push forward. Go forward. Amen? The Bible said that your sins are cast into the depths of the sea to never be remembered against you ever again. So if your sins or your failures or your shortcomings are being reminisced about, it's not God. God is not involved. He's done away with it. Your sin has been nailed to the cross. You have to trust the love of God, that God loves you. You know, I know some people, I know nobody in this room is this way, but there are some people when they get in a fight, they drag up what happened at the last fight. They keep dragging up the old stuff. Ladies, the last thing they want to hear from you, the last thing your husband wants to hear from you is what your last husband was like. They don't want to hear it. And if he was that good, you should have kept him. Forgetting those things that are behind, right? But see, we do that with God. We'll bring a past into our present because we don't trust the love of God. And it robs us of the goodness of God in our life. Now, hopefully this will get clearer, okay? Some of you got that look on your face. But it says, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son as Savior of the world. Whosoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believe, we have known and believe the love that God has for us. For God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God. Right. I mean, you know, quit thinking of love as an emotional feeling. Now, don't misunderstand me. There's nothing wrong with good feelings, okay? But in 44 years of marriage, I haven't always felt, you know, but I was still married and I still loved my wife, right? Love is a commitment. Love is being committed to this, right?
Okay, whatever.
It says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no what? Fear in love. That's why, right there, that is why love is the most important. Faith and hope cannot work in an atmosphere of fear. Faith is confidence in God. Fear is in confidence of evil. Bad things are going to happen. I'm fearful, right? Love eliminates fear. You can get up in a crazy world and have complete peace, because the perfectness of God's love has freed you from the fear. And that's why love is so important, because with fear, faith don't work in fear, and hope won't work in fear. Because if you're in fear, you won't have any God hope. You'll only have negative hope. If you get up every day worrying about, you know, what's going on in the world, and I'm not denying stuff out there. I'm in the kingdom. I'm in the kingdom of God. Amen? Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will come to pass. Amen? And I'm just saying, I get up every day believing that the steps of a righteous man are ordered to the Lord, and his ways are pleasing. There is no weapon formed against me that shall prosper. You know what Satan wants to do? Satan wants to kill you, but I've defeated him because I'm not afraid of dying. When you're not afraid of dying, death has no power. It has no power. You're going to die. I'm like, hey, I'm ready. Be absent from the bodies, be present with God. Amen. I mean, perfect love has cast out the fear. I mean, when I fell off the building up in Shingletown, and Dave Eshley fell on top of me, and my ankle was busted, my wrist looked like a spoon. I mean, it just like that. That's how my wrist looked. And I was numb from the waist down. My greatest fear in that moment was living. I wanted to die, because I did not want to live in a wheelchair. I know that's a terrible, but I didn't want to. I prayed. I told my father, I said, I'm ready. I'm ready to go. I don't want to live like this. Because I could not feel my legs. I couldn't move them. I couldn't feel them. I was totally numb. And I thought, Lord, I do not want to live this way. Dying felt comforting. I know that sounds probably crazy, but it felt comforting to me. So I had to come to a place in my mind. I'm laying there on the ground, can't get up. We're waiting for a helicopter to come pick us up, and I'm waiting there, and I can't move, and I'm just totally just talking to God. And it's funny, because it wasn't a lot of pain, because your body goes into shock. When you get hurt real bad like that, your body just goes into shock and it cuts off the pain. It helps numb or deaden the pain. So I'm just laying there and I can't move my legs, and I'm laying there. And my wrist, like I said, it just looked like a spoon, just like that. I'd busted my wrist so bad. And I'm laying there on the ground. So I had to make a decision. Well, looks like I'm going to live. So I'm going to be healed. That was my decision. That was the only decision I could make. I'm going to be healed. I am healed, and I'm going to receive my healing. Now, I had a lot of people come and tell me a lot of dumb things, because one thing I've learned over the years is most Christians don't know what the Bible says. They know about the Bible, but they don't know the Bible. They know a lot of religious statements. And I say these things, and I don't mean this disrespectful, but my mom could quote songs. When she'd talk about God, she'd quote songs. She loved music. She'd quote songs. Well, that's okay if those songs are scripture. But they're not all scriptural. Just because it makes you feel good doesn't mean it's going to change anything. And so I had to come to a place, and I had to, the first thing I had to do is I had to get rid of any fear. I can't be afraid. Because fear is the opposite of faith. I heard a message years ago, and the guy preached about how that fear is faith inverted. In other words, fear is perverted faith. Fear is faith in bad. Faith is faith in good. And we gotta, and how does faith come? That's right. So God faith comes by hearing the word. How does fear come? That's right. Faith, fear comes the same way. Fear comes by hearing, and hearing by the unbelief that's being spread by everybody around. You know, you got to decide what you're going to do. So when God says there in 1 Corinthians, when Paul writes and says, now abides faith, hope, and love, the greatest of these is love, is because it's love that casts out all fear. When we trust God and we trust God's love for us and that God's will for us is perfect and he wants me, then it gets rid of the fear. And when something happens in my life, I don't get caught up in fear. I get caught up in the reality that the steps of a good man are ordered to the Lord and his ways are pleasing and he's got a future for me and it's good. And I had to keep reminding myself of that. I mean, I'm in the hospital. And then the reports aren't good. I have to decide what I'm going to believe. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm just saying you got to make up your mind. One thing I really believe this with God is you can't have the attitude of, I'll try this. This is not something you try. It's, you either do it or you don't do it. You got to do it. I'm in. I'm in. You know, it's like I get so agitated at these people that want to argue about eternal security. And they always argue about it from the point of, well, just because I sin doesn't keep me from being God. You know what I hear? I'm going to sin and I want to make sure I still go to heaven. If you're here this morning and you want to sin, I say you need to get saved. Now, don't misunderstand me. I think sometimes something gets in our life. We get bondages, okay? We get mindsets. We get things that we do things and we sin and we regret it and we wish we hadn't have done it, right? Am I the only one that does that kind of stuff? But the thing is, I don't want to. I want to change. I want my life to change. I want to be conformed to the image of Jesus. The Bible says I'm predestined to be conformed to the image. My predestination is to be conformed to the image of Jesus, not to go to heaven. Because I'm in Christ, going to heaven is a sealed deal. I don't have to be fearful of that. But if I'm looking for ways to sin and still be saved, there's something wrong with my salvation. It should be our desire to live like God, right? Now, I don't want you to misunderstand me. Christians can believe lies until they get in bondage, right? And they're still Christians because they're miserable. How many Christians are on mood-altering drugs because they're out of right relationship with God? They're taking drugs to get rid of conviction. They want the conviction to go away so they take drugs. When if they would just repent, truly repent and follow God, the depression would leave. See, because as a believer, if your spirit is truly born to God, let's just pretend that your spirit is truly born to God. He is not going to be happy if I choose to live a sinful life. No, yes. Does anybody here know what conviction is besides me? Have you ever been to a spiritual woodshed? Oh, I've had a good whooping. God loves me. He says, I whip those whom I love. One guy said, I beat the hell out of them. Hey, it's like God's going to get a hold of us. He's not going to let us just go down paths without him. He's coming after us because we're his kids and he loves us. But it ought to be our heart to serve him. And the more we let perfect love have its way in our life, the less fear we have in our life, and the greater manifestation will be faith and hope. But if we let our lives be filled with fear, it's going to limit the faith, and it's going to limit the manifestation of hope in my life. So that's why he says love is more important, because love gets rid of the fear so faith and hope can manifest in my life. And it takes effort to keep fear out of you, because we live in a fear-filled world that's trying to pump fear into you. Because they've learned that fear is motivational. If you don't send me $10, they're going to be at your house tomorrow to get your guns. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm a Second Amendment guy. And I think the thought of taking away people's guns is stupid, because it could get dangerous. That's probably not a good plan. But my point is this. I can't get caught up in that fear. I can't get caught up in this. I can't get caught up in that. You would know, as small as our church is, there's probably people that go to this church that don't vote. Now, I'm not telling you to vote. Part of me wants to not vote, living in California. But as an American, I feel like I have a responsibility to vote. Okay, so I go and I vote, but I know Christians that don't vote and then gripe about what the condition of the world is. Friend, I think it makes more sense to go down and cast a vote and change our society as much as we can that way before we pick up arms to kill people. I think that makes more sense to me. Let's just take our civic responsibility, go down, vote for the right things, vote for what's consistent with a Christian Christ-like lifestyle, and let's see if we can't change things that way. And you know what I also believe is we can still have revival in America. We can still see souls saved. We can still see lives changed. We can still see young people turn to God. Hey, they baptized hundreds of people in Miami, Florida during Easter service. Was that, nobody made a big deal out of it. Now, I saw it on Fox News, but it was not made a big deal. France baptized more people the other day in one day than they've ever, that they have any knowledge of ever doing. Don't tell me God's not working. Amen. We just don't look where God's working. Get a hope. Get an expectation. It just agitates me. Somebody say, you know, and I don't know the man really good other than he has big forearms and I used to watch him play baseball. Steve Garvey, okay? But I hear people say like stuff like this. Oh, he'll never get voted in. Oh, shut your mouth. Quit it. Let's believe. That's right. Believe. Go do our part. Let's be part of the system. Now, don't misunderstand me. Whoever gets in there, I'm going to serve God, and I'm going to expect for good things, and I'm going to believe all my needs are met, and I'm going to enjoy life, and I'm going to enjoy my wife and my kids and my grandkids, and I'm going to eat ice cream once in a while, because that's what you do until you go to heaven. That's what keeps you going. That's right. But the thing is, we got to decide what we're going to. Let's not be part of the system. Let's let the love of God have control of our lives. And let's start having some faith in God and some hope for the future and believe that God can turn things around, not because of me, but because of him. It disturbs me when people say, well, I know why God moved us. I prayed all that time. Oh, shut up. Don't misunderstand me. Let's pray. Let's believe. But God wants to save this world far more than you want it saved. What he wants us to do is agree with him. Put ourselves in agreement with him and believe with him. And you know, quit looking at the things that are seen, but start looking at the things that are unseen. Amen? Start believing the word. You know what? He knows how to turn governments and societies and all that. You know what? This stupid that we're going down, they can't keep going down this road. If they do, we won't have a civilization as we know it. So I believe God's turning it. And I look around and I see some good things. And I believe, and I know I'm naive, I used to be teased up the hill. They used to call me Pollyanna because I always see the world through rose-colored glasses. Listen, friend, who wants to look through at a hellscape? You know what I mean? You might as well see the good. And I believe when I go out into my community, there's far more good people than bad. I believe that. Even people that aren't, there are good, when I say good, use the term, I use it a little lightly, but there are good people that aren't even saved. They still have some good values in their life. So my point is, this morning, my message that I want you to understand is, you have to trust the love of God. God loves you. God loves this world. He loves us. And if we could just get a reality of the love of God and his love for us, the fear would leave. You know, you don't have to be afraid of anybody. You don't have to be afraid of anything. Trust in the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about being foolish or anything like that. I'm just saying you're smart. You know what to do, what not to do. You know, there's been a few times when I was down in the Bay Area, and I got on the wrong street and ended up in the wrong place in Oakland, I turned around. I didn't get out and say, I'm a man of God, you know. No, I just got my way out of there, okay? I'm not saying not to use wisdom. I'm not saying, but you can't get up every day and live in fear and live in, you're just ruining your life. Faith and hope will not work in a heart that's full of fear. So one of the first things we got to challenge is that fear, God's love, wants to cast out all the fear. I'm not afraid of the future. I believe my future is good. My needs are met. I'm not hunting for a cave. You know, And I don't want you to misunderstand me. I'm not against you having food prepped and all that. That's up to you. That's your business. It's none of mine. But I believe God's going to meet my needs. Every day, he's going to meet my need. Whatever this day needs, God's going to meet it. And he's going to take care of me because that's the kind of God he is. Now, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just saying, my Bible says, don't take no thought for tomorrow will take thought for itself. I'm not saying not to buy two steaks and only one. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying you can't get caught up in the future because you have no clue what the future will be. All you can do is trust God. Amen? That makes us different than the world, right? Both sides are nuts. So just understand it. As Christians, we go vote for those who closest believe what we believe. That's all I can do. But we need to speak in the direction we want our lives to go. You know, there's a part of me that'd like to just moon California and leave. But there's a part of me that says, son, you're the light. You're the salt. You're the hope. Jesus is the answer. Anybody can run. I mean, sometimes you want to wake up in a state where not everybody's went nuts, but not everybody has. Right? I know I'm probably too long here, and this is probably has nothing to do with anything. So you're going to have to forgive me for this. But have you ever looked at a map of California after an election? They show who voted where and where the voting is. And right on the coast, there'll be a blue strip. And the rest of the state's red. Don't tell me everybody in California are fruits and flakes and nuts. I live here. And I know a lot of good people. So let's not believe all the propaganda, right? God's a good, he's got a plan. So let's be part of the plan, amen? And not just throw up our hands and quit. I mean, I'm not being self-righteous here because I've had a few of those moments where it's like, Kentucky's nice. But when you get to Kentucky, there's going to be problems and bugs and humidity. And then we can all go move to the Midwest and we can fight with tornadoes. I told my wife yesterday because I was watching where the tornadoes were going down there through Oklahoma, through Texas, Oklahoma, all the way up to where my son lives in Omaha. And I said, I'll take an earthquake any day. I'll take an earthquake. I'm okay. You know, it's like, but my point, I know that's stupid, but my point is we can't let fear take over our lives, man. And that's what both sides want, okay? That's what both sides want. They want to fear you into doing what they want you to do. So we don't live by fear. We live by faith, we live by hope, and we live by God's love. Amen? Yeah. All right. I was trying to be encouraging this morning. I don't know if I made it or not. If you need prayer this morning, I'd love to pray with you.